to the preaching and teaching ministry of Marion Oaks Assembly of God in Ocala, Florida. We invite you to open your Bible as we join Pastor Tim McIntyre for today's message or Bible study.
Last week, I shared with you that we aren't starting a series per se, but just a number of lessons. I'm not exactly sure how long they're going to go, that my desire and my prayer is, and I believe God's laid it on my heart, that it'd be very, very practical about prayer. We've done a number of teachings and sermon series and Bible study series over the years about prayer and how and what and why and the Lord's Prayer and all that kind of stuff. But that, instead of something like that, something very, very practical that will encourage us, that will challenge us, and motivate us to be more faithful, to be more committed, to be more consistent, to be more biblical about our prayer lives. Last week, we had the first lesson in that series. And I also mentioned that it's going to be the type of thing that we're going to work our way through it, and we're going to try to structure it in such a way that I'm going to give you homework, but you get to do your homework in class. We're going to put some into practice before we leave tonight. That is the goal anyway. We did it last week, and it turned out very, very well. Last week, we talked about praying God's Word. If you weren't here, you missed it. You can listen to it online. But we talked about the fact that the one sure promise that we have of God about prayer is that He always answers yes when we pray according to His will. Okay? Now, we can pray anything. Even if we don't know if it's God's will, we just have to leave it in His hands, all right? But He says that if you pray according to His will, He hears, and if He hears, He will answer. And we mentioned that His will is primarily and most clearly revealed in His Word. So if we learn how to pray His Word correctly, then we're praying His will. And so we talked about how to do that last week. We said, pick a scripture, just about any scripture. Kind of hard with the genealogies, but pick a scripture. If you want to work it into your daily devotions, your passage for the day, and meditate on it, and then turn it into a prayer. We talked about 8 things that are involved in meditation, okay, biblical meditation, that you can look for, that you can then turn into a prayer according to God's will. We said look for things to thank God for, becomes thanksgiving. Look for things to praise God for. Thanking God is for something He did. Praising God is for who He is. We talked about looking for promises to claim, for sins to confess or to avoid, for attitudes to change, for commands or principles to obey, for examples to follow, or you could take all those things and pray those same things for other people as God leads you. All right? And if you say, I wanted to write those down, we wrote them down last week. So anyway, another way to put this, and this is the first thing on your note sheet for tonight, is don't pray just for what you want, but for what God wants for you. All right? Don't pray just for what you want, but what God wants for you. Now, you are welcome to pray for whatever you want. Even if you pray for the wrong thing, God is capable of saying that's the wrong thing. Okay? But God welcomes us into His presence like we talked about on Sunday. We can come before His presence with confidence to the throne of grace. Okay? He says, cast your cares on Him because He cares for you. And He cares about every one of our needs. But so many times we can get all caught up about praying for me, this, and just, you know, needs that are felt needs that are like crisis. And God's got a whole maybe other set of priorities that He would love to have us pray for, and He'd love to answer in our lives. And so we ought to think about that. What prayer would God be eager to hear and answer? You know, if God could say to you, if you would just pray about this, well, the good news is there's a couple places where He kind of does say that. Maybe not in those exact words, but in some of the prayers that we see in Scripture. We're going to look at one of those tonight. Another way to word this, or to express this on your note sheet, God is concerned about everything you're concerned about, but are you concerned about everything that God is concerned about? That's why sometimes when I'm praying for needs, I'll pray for the needs and I'll say, well, God, here's our list. But Lord, what's your list? Do in me, do in us what you want to do. Change my character. Help me to do what I need to do. All that kind of stuff. So I've entitled today's lesson, Praying God's Priorities. Praying God's Priorities. And we're going to be looking at one of Paul's prayers in his letter to the Colossians, Colossians chapter 1, specifically verses 9 to 14. And this prayer, even though it's the prayer he says that he prays for the people in this particular church, it's a prayer that applies to anybody, anytime, anywhere. And so as we go work our way through it, I want to encourage you to pay real close attention to this and begin to pray these things for yourself. But not just for yourself, pray them for other people. For your friends, for your spouse, for your children, for your boss, for your coworkers, other family members, for your enemies. Pray them for me. Okay? I'd appreciate that. So the background to this passage is Paul opens the letter with grace and peace like he usually does. And then he talks about how he's heard such wonderful things about the Colossians. This is one of his letters. I think this is the only letter, if I remember correctly, that he wrote to a church that he'd never been to. Okay? This church had actually been started by somebody who had heard Paul preach in a different town and then went and started this church in Colossae. Okay? But Paul had heard such great things about them. He'd heard about their faith and their love and their hope and how they were growing in the Lord. And then he launches into what he says he prays for them. So let's read the passage there in Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 to 14. He said, "And so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." Before we jump into the specific things that he's praying for the Colossians, that we can also pray for ourselves and others, I just want to make note of what he said there in verse 9. "And so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you." Okay? And that points out a very important prayer principle we're not going to emphasize tonight, but that is persistence in prayer, consistency in prayer. Don't give up. And when you read Paul's writings, you see this over and over and over again, that he's always praying for the churches. And he mentions how he prays for them not just one time, but he prays for them all the time. Okay? So what did Paul pray for this church? The first one is, "Show me your will." I took each of the statements, the phrases that are here, tried to boil it down to a simple request. Lord, show me your will. Again, verse 9, "We've not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding." So he says, Lord, he's praying for them, "Show them your will." We pray it for ourselves. Lord, show me your will. Why is it important that we know what God's will is? I'll give you a chance to give us some feedback here. Bert. Okay, well, it's obviously very important from what we see in Scripture that God's will should be done. Jesus said we should pray that God's will be done. But why is it so important?
Because God said so.
Because God said so. Okay, we can relate to that as parents, right? Our kids say, "What? Because I said so." You know, a little hint for parents and grandparents. When you've got to tell your kid or your grandkid not to do something or to do something, if you can give them a logical, reasonable explanation, do that. Don't just say, "Because I said so." But there are times you have to say that because they can't understand. It's just they got to do it on your authority. But if you want them to grow up to learn to make wise decisions, you got to explain why it's wise to do certain things or not do certain. Little parenting, grandparenting tip there. So why is God's will important besides just because God said so? Lynn. Okay, so we know what, so we can know what God wants us to do. And hopefully as believers, we want to do what God wants us to do.
Exactly.
Carlton.
I think of the Lord's Prayer.
Yes. Yes. It was already mentioned that Lord's Prayer. Jesus said to pray, "Your kingdom come, your will be done." If we're citizens of the kingdom, we're going to serve our God and King and Master and Lord and Savior. Then we need to know his will so we can do it. Yeah. Junian? Okay, that's the first step to being obedient. And as we're obedient, it's a good example to other people. We can't do God's will unless we know God's will, right? All right, well, let's go on. By the way, I am trying to move a little bit quicker on these lessons, so we do have time to practice before we get to the end. So I don't ever mean to cut anybody off. So God's will is so important. And one thing that wasn't mentioned that we need to get seated in our soul, but it's sometimes hard to believe, is that God's will for us is what's best for us. Okay? Just like a parent, they may not always get it right, but their desire is what's best for their kids, even if the kids don't understand it. All right? And God's the perfect parent. When he does say this is what's best for you, he really does know. All right? If we can just trust him with that. All right? And so we need to know his will so we can fulfill the purpose for which he created us and to please him. Notice that he says here that you be filled with the knowledge of his will. There's the full knowledge, okay? Everything that we need to know. Now, real quickly, how does God reveal his will to us? Primarily through his word. But he does the other ways too. His Holy Spirit speaks to us, sometimes through wise counsel of other believers. He can even speak to non-believers. He spoke through a donkey before, you know. But whatever way God, you feel like God might be speaking to you about outside of his word, it always has to line up with his word. Because God is not going to contradict himself. Okay? But notice he also said, filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Why do you think he uses, or what is the significance of the use of the word spiritual there? Exactly. To differentiate between the wisdom of the world and the wisdom of God. All right? Because there are many times they are in conflict with each other. All right? We always want to give precedence to God's wisdom. That's right. And Paul, when he talked about preaching, he didn't come preaching worldly wisdom. He came preaching God's wisdom. The good news is if we need wisdom, is that God promises to give it to us. James 1:5, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who generously gives to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. So that's one of the main things that we can pray for ourselves. We can pray for others. Lord, help me to understand your will. Show me your will. Okay? Show me the fullness of your will. All right? Number two, help me please you in every way. Help me please you in every way. We see that in verse 10. He says, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him. When he says so as, or in order that, it's basically saying, okay, you're asking for the knowledge, the wisdom, and the understanding of God's will for the end result so that you will please him. That was already mentioned. You got to know God's will before you can do God's will. At least have the assurance that you are doing God's will. All right? And knowledge by itself isn't worth a whole lot unless you do something with it. We can know God's perfect will, but if we don't live it out, what good does it do us? He says to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. We've mentioned that before many times in Scripture. The word walk is used to talk about your lifestyle, how you live. Okay? What do you think he means when he says to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord? What is that trying to indicate? What is that trying to communicate? That we should walk in a way worthy of the Lord?
Having a desire to please him.
With a desire to please him? Yeah. I mean, that's the whole essence of the whole prayer request. Yeah.
Acceptable.
What? Acceptable. Uh-huh. What'd you say, Carlton? Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Were any of you raised in a family where your parents expected you to live a certain way so you didn't bring dishonor to your name, to your family, you know, to live up, to be worth, you know, in other words, there's kind of this idea of a standard, okay? And see, like grins on faces, but you recognize the truth of that, right? Maybe you had a parent say, well, you know, you're better than that, okay? And sometimes spiritually we need to realize that. When we allow the enemy to tempt us and we're better than that. And I'm not talking about in our own strength or our own righteousness. I'm just saying God has called us to be his children and to walk worthy of that name. And thank God he forgives us when we mess up. But we need to walk worthy of that. And in the same category of help me please you in every way, I don't know about you, but there's kind of like three stages, okay? The first one is help me desire to please you, okay? That's the first thing. We may know exactly what God wants us to do, but we don't want to do it. Well, maybe you guys don't ever wrestle with that. I don't know. It's a good point. It's a good point. So sometimes we got to start saying, Lord, help me to want to do the right thing. I know the right thing, but help me to want to do it. Okay. The second one is help me to decide to please you. Because we may know what is right, but we won't even get to the point where we say, okay, I'm going to do it. It's like, I'm going to put that off. Help me to decide to please you. And then the hard step is help me to do what it takes to please you. Because sometimes we know, and I don't know about you, but sometimes you want to do the right thing, but we have an enemy, don't we? We actually have two of them. We got our spiritual enemy, the devil, on the outside, but we've got a traitor on the inside, our sinful human nature. So it's like, God, help me to want to do the right thing. Help me to make the right decisions. And then, Lord, help me to do it once I know what it is. Okay? All right. How can we know if we are pleasing him or not? If it lines up with his word. The whole thing of how do we find his will? We find his will is, and if we're doing his will, then we're pleasing him. And we can always ask him. You know, I pray regularly, Lord, if there's anything in my life that I'm not aware of that's not pleasing to you, please show me. Okay? You know, I give God permission, not that he needs it, to convict me. In fact, to be honest with you, out of fear of God, and I mean a good, healthy awe, respect, and honor of God, I pray, God, convict me if I do something wrong, because if I allow myself to do something wrong and I don't feel that conviction, I don't have it, then my conscience starts getting numb and seared, and I could end up going the wrong direction, you know? So, Lord, convict me when I do things that are wrong, all right? Okay. Third one, make me fruitful in every good work. This actually, each one kind of builds on the next one. If we learn his will, learning his will, because it's a lifelong process, and we are committing ourselves to carry it out, and we're trying to do the best to do that, it'll make us fruitful, right? Make me fruitful in every good work. Verse 10, bearing fruit in every good work. There's nothing sadder than a fruit tree with no fruit. I shared in a message recently, back a couple months ago, about how a couple years ago, my wife's aunt gave her a lemon tree. It basically was a stick with some roots and a lemon on it. It had been cut off of another lemon tree by a nursery. They knew what they did because it was in a pot and it was growing. And then once that lemon got ripe, then we planted it and we did the research. We fertilized it, all that kind of stuff. And the first year it didn't bear any fruit, which is normal. Good thing we knew that. But as I mentioned, I think I even had a picture of it a couple months ago, that right now we've got, I think it's 21 lemons on this lemon tree. It's only about this big. I didn't even think the branches would be able to hold them up. But as the lemons get bigger, the branches get stronger. They're all green yet, but a lot of them are getting to be the right size. And it's like, yay, we get to have our own lemon. You know, but if you think about it, that's what the purpose of a fruit tree is. And when we have a relationship with God, we should be bearing fruit. One of Lynn's favorite passages is John 15. John 15, he preaches on it and teaches on it and refers it in almost every sermon. John 15, 5, I am the vine, Jesus speaking. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. We need to pray that God will help us to bear fruit. And, you know, it was kind of an object lesson. But we see that in Jesus' life, he cursed a fig tree because it hadn't borne fruit. You know, it wasn't because he got mad one day. It's because he was making a point, okay? What does this fruit look like in our lives? I mean, this is a very poetic, picturesque way of saying, help me to be fruitful, but what does that mean? What is fruit that we're supposed to bear in our lives? The fruits of the Spirit. Good. That's actually the first one in your note sheet. Fruitful character. Fruitful character, okay? Galatians 5, 22 to 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So again, as we're talking about praying this, we pray, God, help me to bear fruit. Lord, part of that fruit is my character. And then we can jump right into this. Say, Lord, how am I doing in the area of love, of joy, of peace, of patience? We don't want to get to patience. We'll skip patience, right? You know, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, other character traits. Say, God, show me, help me. All right? What other kind of fruit are we supposed to have in our lives? Decide, you're talking about?
Supposed to make disciples.
Making disciples. Okay, reaching out to other people. That is an important part of fruit bearing, okay? Is helping other people come to know Jesus and grow in that. That's not on my sheet, but that's okay. That's a good one. You can write that one in. The other one I have on here is fruitful deeds. Okay? You got character, but you have actions. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are his workmanship," talking about God, "created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Same word, walk. As we live this life, God has created things for us to do. So we need to pray, "God, show me what that is and help me to do that. So make me fruitful in every good work." It's not in the lesson, but the good news is that as we carry this out, we begin to bear that fruit, that God will use us to build his kingdom in other people's lives, and we'll be rewarded for it when we get to heaven. That's part of storing up treasure in heaven. Okay? Number four, help me to know you better. Help me to know you better. Colossians 1:10. It says, increasing in the knowledge of God. Increasing in the knowledge of God. I put this on your note sheet. This is really important. Make it your goal to know God, not just about God. This is not just saying, "God, help me to understand your word better," which is a great prayer request. "Help me to learn and memorize your word better," which is a great prayer request. "Lord, help me to know more facts about you," which is a great prayer request and a great subject of study. But Lord, help me to actually know you. Okay? You've probably had the same situation when you started a relationship. I think when I first met my wife, you know, spent some time getting to know her. It was more of a facts type thing, learning who she was and information about her and all that. But over the years, getting to know her more and more and better as a person. And that's true for all of our relationships that grow. Okay. I like the fact that he mentioned increasing. What does that indicate? He says that we should pray that we be increasing. What? Growing, progress, and it seems to indicate that there's not a stopping point, right? Yeah, there isn't. We should be continuing. We should never get to the point where we feel like we've arrived. All right? There's still a whole lot. This is just my opinion. I think it's based on solid scriptural principles, but since God is infinite and infinite in all his character traits, I just have a feeling that even though we're going to be in eternity, which goes on forever, that we're still going to be learning more and more and more about him forever and ever and ever. And we're still going to be growing closer and closer and closer to him forever and ever and ever and ever. All right. But we need to start right here, right now. Now, how can we do this? How can we get to know God better? Spend time in his word. How about pray? Prayer and his word are the two main things, isn't it? Yeah. Yeah. Okay. The good news is that God wants us to get to know him better. Have you ever met somebody and you really wanted to get to know them better, but they really weren't interested? Yeah. You know. But the good news is that God wants us to get to know him better. All right. Number five, give me your strength. Anybody need strength sometimes?
Yeah.
Verse 11, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might for all endurance and patience with joy. Does God have some good power? Does he have very much power? He has all power, right? I mean, it talks about his glorious might. You think about his glorious power that created the universe and keeps it running and brought Jesus back to life, and he says that that power is available to us. Now, is that so that we can have a superpower like, you know, Superman or, you know, one of these other super, you know, Marvel guys? What kind of power, what is this power supposed to be for? To give us boldness to carry out his will. Boldness and strength. You know, the boldness thing especially comes with trying to be his representative in the world. You know, Jesus said in Acts 1:8, it's on your note sheet, but you can write it on there, that he's going to send the Holy Spirit so that we will receive power to be his witnesses. Okay? But he also wants to give us power just to do what he calls us to do. Again, these things build on each other. If we've said, "Okay, God, I want to know your will, I want to do your will, and I want to bear good fruit, but I can't do it all by myself, I need your power." Okay? I need your power. And he mentions here specifically endurance and patience. Endurance and patience. And if you study God's word, most of the time, Endurance has to do with circumstances. Okay? So we need his strength. It's like praying, help me to endure difficult circumstances. Patience doesn't have so much to do with circumstances as it has to do with what?
Endurance.
People. Yeah, patience and endurance are pretty much the same sort of thing, but endurance is more like circumstances and patience is more like people. All right? And you know the old saying, don't ever ask God to give you patience. Because the way he does that is he puts you in situations where you need it. You're going to come across plenty of those all on your own. But we do need his strength, don't we? If we're really going to live for him and bear fruit, we need his strength. And before we skip over it, not meaning to, he says, with joy. I like that that's in there. Because God wants us to know that even though we face difficult circumstances and difficult people, we can do it with joy. And maybe that needs to be our big prayer request is, Lord, I need your strength. I think you're giving it to me, but I need some joy to go along with that, okay? Supersize the joy, Lord. Because I'm struggling through these circumstances, and I'm struggling with this person, but I really would like to do it with joy. Okay. And the sixth and last one is thank you, God. Thank you, God. Colossians 1, 12 to 14, just the beginning, it says, giving thanks to the Father. Thanks, giving thanks. Thanksgiving is so important, and not just because of the turkey dinner. All right. Giving thanks to God. We teach our kids that, right? Our grandkids. Somebody does something for them, we say, what do you say? Thank you. You know, God has been so good. And then Paul goes into this long thing where he says, verse 12 to 14, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Wonderful, picturesque, theological statements of what he's done for us. We're going to go through these really quickly, okay? And it's just the words that are there. The first bullet point, thank you for qualifying me. Thank you for qualifying. That's not a specifically theological or spiritual term, but if you think about it, if you heard about something really, really cool and you wanted to be a part of that and you found out you're not qualified, whatever the qualification is, you're not old enough, you're not young enough, you're not the right race, you're not the right income, whatever it is, you're not qualified. It's like, oh, man. But he says he qualified us. He qualified us for his inheritance. I mean, try to think of who all you would like to inherit something from. We get to inherit something from God, okay? He qualified for us. Second one, thank you for delivering me. He delivered us. Delivered us from something bad, something dangerous. That's the idea there. We think of God delivering his children from Egypt, from slavery, all right? From us, delivering us from sin. The third one is thank you for transferring me. So he doesn't just deliver us from, but he delivers us to. Again, the Israelites were delivered from slavery, but they were delivered to the promised land. In the same way, we're delivered from sin to the abundant life that Jesus has for us, an eternal life. The fourth one, thank you for redeeming me. Just another word for saving us from captivity or slavery by paying a ransom. And then the fifth one is actually the simplest way to describe all of them. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for forgiving me. Okay? I like this in Acts chapter 26. Paul's giving his testimony, and he's talking about how God spoke to him about what he wanted him to do. And he kind of says a lot of the same things in a very picturesque way. God speaking to Paul says, I'm sending you to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins in a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. And God did that for each and every one of us. So as we're talking about praying God's priorities, this isn't the only place where God talks about his priorities, obviously, or even that they're revealed in prayers. In fact, in the next couple of weeks, we're going to be looking at a couple of other of Paul's prayers and what they're focused on. But again, this is stuff that we can pray for ourselves. We can pray for other people. Lord, show me your will. Lord, help me to please you in every way. Make me fruitful in every good work. Help me to know you better. Give me your strength. And Lord, thank you. Thank you for what you've done for me. And each of those could be expanded, especially in the areas we discussed tonight, but in other areas in which God will lead you as you pray this. So, here's what we're going to do tonight, okay? Like I said, my goal during this series anyway is to try to get the teaching in so we got some time to put it into practice. Last week, we applied the lesson by praying our way through Psalm 23. And so we're going to take 5 minutes, and I'm going to encourage you to put this into practice. And you can sit there and say, oh, I don't really feel like doing this, and you're just going to be bored for 5 minutes. But I would tell you that if you take this, you take this passage, and you begin to pray through these things, and as I said last week, don't look at this as just some kind of exercise or some kind of assignment or something. Here's another opportunity today. Maybe the first one for you today. Maybe it's, you've already prayed several times today. To just connect with God, okay? So we're going to do that for the next 5 minutes, and then I've got another plan for a couple minutes after that before we wrap it all up, okay? So you can be right where you're at. If you want to get up, walk around, you want to find some place, whatever. But 5 minutes, I encourage you to pray what we've just learned about tonight. All right, the 5 minutes is up. How many of you prayed everything you could possibly think about as a result of this, and you ran out of things to pray for? No, you could use this outline of God's priorities to pray for a long time. Another aspect of prayer that's so important is that we are not only doing it by ourselves, but that we join with our brothers and sisters, and we pray for one another. And so that's how I want us to end tonight. If you want to stand up, please. And I want to encourage you to get together with one or maybe at the most two other people. I know I always say that, and I see groups of five or six. I'm not your disciplinarian, but just get with a couple other people and pray for each other. If you want to share specific requests, do that. If you want to do it as a couple, you're welcome to do that. I hope you do that at home. If not, I hope you start doing that. Okay? But get together with at least one, maybe two other people, and just pray for each other. And when you're done, we're done. All right? When we're done, when you're done, we're done.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to today's message or Bible study. For more information, please contact us at area code 352-347-3001 or visit us online. If you are interested in supporting this ministry, go to our website and click on the online giving tab. Our website address is www.marionoaksag.org.